Good day to you and welcome to the Epic Broadcast. My name is Michael Ramey. I'm the president of the Parental Rights Foundation and your host for this episode of the Epic Broadcast, which is the official broadcast of the Parental Rights Foundation. Epic, EPPC, stands for Empowering Parents, Protecting Children, which is the heart and soul of the Parental Rights Foundation as well. My guest today is Parental Rights Foundation State Coordinator for Florida, Patty Sullivan. She's also the founder of Parental Rights Florida and a member of the Parental Rights Foundation's Board of Directors. Patty is in D.C. this week to talk about parental rights. Well, we both are talking with congressmen about parental rights, and that's literally our theme. Let's talk about parental rights. So what is that about?
Well, Michael, it's good to be with you. After all these years of knowing you, what would it be, 10 or 15 years now?
It's been a while,
it's
yeah.
It's been a while. Been
about, yeah, 14,
so
maybe.
Talking about parental rights is obviously, it's a national conversation right now. Mm-hmm. It's not new, though. For some people, it's new. Since COVID happened, it became kind of a topic, a hot topic about education. But we're here to talk about parental rights being a comprehensive issue, mm-hmm. which has been the focus of Parental Rights Foundation since its inception in 2008, 2009, I believe. So we're here to talk about parental rights being a comprehensive issue with our congressmen and congresswomen. Mm-hmm. In particular, this week, we're talking with legislators who represent Florida mm-hmm. Here on a federal level, and to talk to them about passing legislation, which is number one, the Parental Rights Amendment to the mm-hmm. U.S. Constitution, which we have been pushing as an organization since its inception, since 2009. And then also, that's House Joint Resolution 38, which
right.
is sponsored by Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. And we have a number of co-sponsors already, but we're here to ask Florida congressmen and women to sponsor that as well and to jump onto that, especially since Florida has led been one of the leading states in our nation in the last few years in regard to parental rights. So why not have our federal congressmen and congresswomen that represent Florida push that issue even further down on a federal level? And then we're also supporting House Resolution 6934, which is the Family Rights and Responsibilities Act, which mm-hmm. is a federal Parents' Bill of Rights, not like the one that we had passed a couple of years ago, which really was just a skeletal kind of picture of parental rights. It really didn't have any teeth to mm-hmm. it. This would be very comprehensive and would really make an impact on our nation and parental rights in our nation.
Okay. So we've noticed over recent months there's sort of this drumbeat out of D.C. that is, you know, let's not worry about the parents, but let's have our schools take charge and have our schools push the things that the federal government wants. And it's not been a very friendly voice to parental rights, has it?
No, it hasn't. And quite frankly, they have the issue upside down, because if the family is the core and the center of our communities, of our counties, of our states, and of our nation, and parental rights have been known for centuries and thousands of years as a traditional understanding that parents have the right to determine what's in their fundamental right mm-hmm. to determine what's in the best interest of their own children in regard to their well-being, their education, and their upbringing. To have that be flipped around and say that the government knows better than the parents, I think that's not the drumbeat that we need to be hearing, and that's not what we need to be centering what's going on in our nation. Our nation was founded on limited government, and that also includes limited government, not overstepping the government of the parents within the rights of their own family.
Good. So we're talking about parental rights, encouraging them to talk about parental rights. How is it that congressmen, how are we looking to help congressmen create an opportunity to speak up for parental rights?
Well, these two legislative pieces will give them an opportunity to represent their own constituents within the legislative system. And the first thing that they can do is log on as co-sponsors to these resolutions. Second thing they can do is get them into the subcommittees mm-hmm. of the Judiciary Committee or these other committees that they're representing.
Yeah, I think they're both in the Judiciary Committee.
They're both in the Judiciary Committee. So to to be able to have a conversation. We know that this is going to take some time to educate our their fellow legislators on the issue, but to have the conversation when they log on as co-sponsors, the next step that they can do is begin to introduce these into these subcommittees.
Good. So now we've talked to, so you and I are live here. We're just outside D.C. right now. We've been in D.C. all day today. We're going back tomorrow. And in our meetings, we've talked a couple of times about the fact it's significant that the Parental Rights Amendment that's proposed in H.J. Res. 38 predates the parents' movement that really came out of COVID starting in 2020. Why is that significant that that predates that?
Well, the reason that's significant, for one, number one, Michael Ferris, who started our organization, Parental Rights Foundation, he saw what was coming down the pike long before it actually came down the pike. And that was one of the reasons he wanted to put forward the Parental Rights Amendment. And so this most recent movement of parental rights, I would say, kind of started during the COVID era, when things began to be seen in the education system, and parents began to awaken to the reality that, you know, what was happening in the school districts was not necessarily what they had put their children in these school districts for. And so the hot button right now is education in the Parental Rights Amendment, I think, or in the Parental Rights Movement. But the Parental Rights Amendment predates it in that parental rights are not just about education. They are about the comprehensive understanding of a parent's ability to care and tend to their child in education, well-being, which would be mental health and medical health, and their upbringing, their values, and what they want to impart to their own children. So the Parental Rights Amendment is comprehensive in that way of getting parents to understand and legislators to understand that parental rights are a comprehensive issue and it should be respected as thus.
And we talked too about, because you and I discussed this, that the movement that's come out since 2020, there's a lot of passion, and it's really, it's a good movement. It's parents who've been awakened and they've recognized what's going on. They're really passionate to protect their children. They're grouping together to protect their children, all of which brings really a positive energy to what's going on. But having the Parental Rights Amendment already proposed, having our organization already in existence and already having studied this for more than a decade by that point, gave them a foundation, gave them something to build on, to where they have all this passion, but they didn't bring knowledge to it. And that's not an insult at all. They were just waking up, realizing what's going on. Of course, your average parent hasn't studied, you know, constitutional law and parental rights. They don't know that stuff. So they were able to find it on our website and realize that, oh, wow, there's actually judicial precedent behind our passion.
Right.
You know, it's rooted in our court and judicial tradition. And here's an organization that's already fighting for that. And so we kind of gave them a foundation to build on, which is good. So it's been really a win-win, I think. We've given them the foundation and they've built on it with the passion and the unity and the working together and that grassroots force that really, and we always knew.
Right.
Parents are a force to reckon with if you waken them up.
Right, absolutely. Up. And I think this movement is, like you said, it's passionate. It's a good thing. Parents have been awakened. But then there's also the depth. It's a new layer that's been built on the foundation. And my encouragement and with parents in Florida and throughout the United States is now that there's been an awakening, just like we are where we are as a nation because we don't understand the founding fathers and what their purpose was for founding the nation, we can also be the same way as a movement in the parental rights movement without understanding the foundation of the parental rights movement within our nation as well. And my encouragement with parents that are really awakened to this issue is go a step further and look at the history of this movement. Go to parentalrightsfoundation.org, go to parentalrightsfl.org if you're a Floridian, and there are resources there. I mean, there are court cases that show the 100-year precedent, Supreme Court precedent that we have that showed clearly that parental rights are a fundamental right. There are scholarly resources that can be read and understood. Like there's a book, Parental Rights in Peril, which I would highly recommend. And then also a book by Melissa Muscala, which is To Whom Do Children Belong? And these two resources and other resources that Parental Rights Foundation provides, or that you can find in different places where you can purchase these books, provide a deeper understanding of the tradition and the understanding of the parental rights movement, of which is the foundation of what we're building on right now. And I think it's key that parents actually take it a step further, that they look outside of themselves, that it's not just about what's going on right now in the movement, it's about what happened in the past to bring us to this place, and then also building an understanding by reading these scholarly works and understanding the history of the parental rights movement will actually help in the generations to come, that they can hand this off to their children, they can hand this off to their grandchildren. And we need to have the passion, but we also have to have the understanding mm-hmm. and the knowledge as to why we are where we're at and how to get to the next place in this movement.
Absolutely. Now, one of the questions that came up, and we've agreed this is one for me to field, but one of the questions that came up in our meetings today was whether, how do we answer the question whether the amendment would protect child abusers? And the fact is the amendment includes in it the definition of strict judicial scrutiny, that only a compelling governmental interest met by the least restrictive means is sufficient if you're going to encroach on a fundamental right. The Supreme Court has upheld that for decades, and vast majority of state courts hold that same thing, that strict judicial scrutiny. It's right there in the amendment. And the significance of that is just this. That is the existing standard in the states. And every state has laws allowing for the prosecution of child abusers. And allowing the state to intercede to protect children who are at imminent risk of physical harm. And that is a compelling state interest. It is met by the least least restrictive means. So it meets strict scrutiny already. So then if we pass this amendment, it establishes in the Constitution the very same legal standard that already exists, that all of these laws have already met. So it doesn't make those laws go away.
Right.
None of them, they don't go away. They've already met the standard that this amendment espouses. So that's the answer to that. It would not protect child abusers in any way. Now, let's take a moment and turn to the other bill, H.R. 6934. What is that about?
H.R. 6934 is the Family Rights and Responsibilities Act. Mm-hmm. That is the new federal Parents' Bill of Rights, if you would. It's very comprehensive. It covers well-being, which would be medical and mental health. It covers education. It covers the upbringing of a child as well. And it's sponsored. But the main sponsor on the House side is Representative Virginia Fox, a well-known representative out of North Carolina. And on the Senate side is Senators Lankford and Senator Scott. They're the sponsoring on the Senate side. So we really highly recommend for parents to contact their congressmen and congresswomen in their states and ask them to log on as co-sponsors.
And how does that help that, particularly because we're visiting with House members this week, how does it help that Virginia Fox is the lead on that?
Well, I mean, she's just a well-known mother, grandmother. She's also a medical doctor, I believe. So she just has a strong standing in all of these arenas of standing for families and parents overall.
And I will add, too, there was that one office, I'm not going to name names, but there was that one office where the staffer we met with, sort of their eyes lit up at, oh, Virginia Fox, that lends it a weight, I think. Those weren't her exact words, but I think weight was, or gravity. It's just a level of respectability that Virginia Fox is leading that. So that's a good thing. Now, we are talking to Republicans this week. Is this a partisan issue?
This absolutely. If there's ever one issue that it should not be a partisan issue, this is the issue that should not be a partisan issue. Matter of fact, when the Parents' Bill of Rights passed in Florida in 2021, It was a bipartisan issue. We had two Democrats that actually logged on, and then we had our Republicans logged on as well. I think every parent, it's not left or right, it's not Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. We are parents that care about our children. So this should matter to anyone in our country.
You know, you mentioned the Parents' Bill of Rights in Florida. It's been a minute, but something like 11 years ago, the Florida legislature also passed a resolution, a memorial, urging Congress to pass the Parental Rights Amendment. And one thing I remember about that, it's true that in Florida in 2013, more Republicans voted for that than Democrats, but more Democrats voted for it than against it in every committee and on both the House and Senate floors.
As a matter of fact, it was almost unanimous at the time.
Right.
So that was 2011.
So even if it had been only the Democrats voting on that at that time, the majority of Democrats voted for it.
And one of the co-sponsors and one of the main sponsors was a Democrat.
That's right. Yeah. So we have this history in Florida of it being bipartisan, which is pretty amazing because Congress anymore, you almost can't get anything bipartisan. Mm-hmm. Now, it's nice for you and me sitting down talking to Republicans this week because that's a certain particular message. There's a way we appeal to Republicans. There's a way to appeal to the Democrats. So this week we can focus on appealing to the Republicans. And we're also, as you mentioned, we're talking to Florida members of Congress. Now, because you're from Florida, you're our state representative, state coordinator from Florida, and so you've given us that opportunity. But why should this issue appeal especially to these Republican members from Florida?
From Florida. Well, I'm partial, obviously, sure, because I've been working on the parental rights issues since 2012 in Florida, starting with bringing that very simple strict scrutiny language, the paragraph that said parental rights are a fundamental right, mm-hmm. Although it took 9 years to finally get that bill passed. Some people think this is why I know it's going to take time on a federal level. It did take 9 years. And in 2021, when the bill passed in Florida, it just happened to pass as this whole new national thing was happening. And since that time, I've continued to do some things behind the scenes as far as helping legislators and giving proposals. We passed the Parental Rights in Education Law. Then we did the Parental Rights in Education 2.0. Then we've continued to strengthen and fortify parental rights in Florida. I have some proposals coming up for the next year as well that I think may be moving forward. But in particular, and again, I'm partial, but I believe that Florida has been leading the way with parental rights, especially in the last number of years. So my appeal to the congressmen and congresswomen here on a federal level is, if the state of Florida, if the legislators in the state of Florida and the parents in the state of Florida and the governor of the state of Florida have combined efforts as a team, how much more should our Florida delegation of federal congressmen, congresswomen, and senators combine as a team and keep Florida leading on a federal level to keep that wave happening and lead the way as a nation on behalf of parents and families for the nation, not just Florida.
And you mentioned the governor, and I realize our audience is bipartisan, and that's good. We are
Absolutely.
Bipartisan, and we want to be. So I recognize that Governor Ron DeSantis may not be the most popular person for all of our listeners, but one thing he definitely has brought to the table is he has made it clear that parental rights can be a winning campaign issue, a winning issue, let's put it that way, in Florida politics. He's been very popular in Florida, and his stand for parental rights has been a big part of that.
Yes.
You know, I live in Virginia, and Glenn Youngkin is also known for being strong on parental rights, and it has served him well politically. So I think for both of our states, it says that it is politically safe, especially for these Republican members of the House or the Senate, to stand on parental rights, because it's a popular issue in their state. Our governors have shown that. Okay, so what has been your favorite moment in our visits so far?
Well, my favorite moment is walking into the rooms and meeting with you know, the congressional staff, the staffers from Florida, and just being able to connect with them personally and telling the story of what happened in Florida, and sharing these significant, these two resolutions that could continue to push Florida, you know, Floridians and their legislators in the way federally that we can get these bills passed, but connecting with these staff people on a personal level, mm-hmm. Seeing the lights go on when we're having these conversations. And one of my favorite things is the tension that's in our nation right now with so many different issues that are important, very important issues that are impacting our nation. But to see them nodding their heads and really connecting on an emotional level when we talk about how important the family is, when we talk about how important it is for parents to be involved in their children's lives, and for parents to lead the way in that. And part of that is just recognizing that not being Pollyannish in a way, mm-hmm. is that it doesn't matter what kind of upbringing we had, we can always do better when we know better. I myself didn't have a two-parent household growing up, so we don't have to have it all together to push this parental rights issue. So the point of connecting with these legislators is to help them understand there are no perfect parents, there are no mm-hmm. perfect families, but the lights going on when they hear about the importance of family and them kind of just taking a deep breath and acknowledging that, as well as saying that really is what matters most in our nation, and mm-hmm. we can all agree on that together.
Yeah. Now, I want to share my answer too, because, and mine was a specific moment, really. It was, we were talking to one of the staffers, and again, I won't name names, but we were talking with one of the staffers, and I had already mentioned one Supreme Court case, and she took an interest in that, in the court case, and then we talked about the Parental Rights Amendment arising out of the Troxell case in 2000, and I told her if she would just look up two more pages of parental rights stuff, look up the Troxell case and read, you don't read the whole case, just read Scalia's dissent and Thomas's concurrence. And her eyes just lit up at Thomas, and she's like, oh, I love him.
He's my
favorite. Justice. Yeah. And I realize some of our listeners would be like, oh no, he's my least favorite justice. But we were able to just kind of geek out for a moment on,
yeah.
When she said that, then I went into the details of, oh, well, let me tell you what Thomas said then. And Thomas pointed out in that case that although parental rights are a fundamental right, and the Supreme Court had said so, all the other opinions in that case that said they're fundamental rights failed to give them strict judicial scrutiny. And Thomas said, if it's a fundamental right, it should get strict judicial scrutiny, which is exactly what we put into the text of the amendment when we drafted it back mm-hmm. in 2008. That it's a fundamental right and it gets that strict judicial scrutiny protection. And she just loved that. I mean, it was just a point of connection. And she and I both were just kind of judiciary geeks for a moment. And
that was fun to watch.
Or funny to watch. I'm not sure which. But that was just kind of a fun moment. And it was neat to make that connection.
And that also just showed how much she, as a staff person, cares about the facts and the mm-hmm. law mm-hmm. of things. That she would study these Supreme Court mm-hmm. cases. So they're educated as well. They're not just relying on us to say these things. They're right. going to do their own research as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of covers it. So as we wrap up, is there anything that you want to share in just a minute or two to wrap up?
Yeah. What I'd like to share is that this is going to take all of us. Mm-hmm. So I would just appeal to all the parents, especially those in Florida, where I'm from, and those throughout the United States. Our legislators can pass these laws, but unless they hear from us, unless we communicate with them, it's not going to make a bit of difference. And what I would encourage you to do is, and we have made it super easy for you to do, we need you and parents all across the United States to reach out to your congressmen, your congresswomen, your senators, and ask them to log on as co-sponsors to these resolutions, to resolution House Joint Resolution 38, which is the Parental Rights Amendment, and the Family Rights and Responsibilities Act, which is House Resolution 6934. You can go on to, if you're a Florida resident, I've given you your district map on our Florida website. That's parentalrightsfl.org. And there's talking points on there. There is a fact sheet that shows you what the Parental Rights Amendment is. And if you live somewhere else in the United States, you can go to parentalrightsfoundation.org. You can see the fact sheet. You can see the text and the language for the Parental Rights Amendment. And there's talking points of how to communicate with your congressman and your congresswoman. So we encourage you to really, it's going to take all of us. And we can't just sit on the sidelines anymore. This is a national issue now, and the wave and the tide is turning. Parental rights, everyone knows about it right now, but we need to actually step up to the plate and continue to let our legislators know that this matters. We have two great bills on a federal level that you can make an impact with by reaching out to your representatives and contacting them and asking them to log on as sponsors.
Right. So this has been the EPIC broadcast, and with Patty Sullivan, our state coordinator from Florida. Patty, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the EPIC broadcast comes out every Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern at iTunes, Spotify, or on our website, parentalrightsfoundation.org/podcast, or wherever you find the podcasts that you listen to. So we invite you to tune in again next week.